And I believe that we're going to be blessed as a result of this. Again, this is Acts chapter number 27, verses 40 through 44, titled, Making It on Broken Pieces. Wouldn't it be nice if your whole life, throughout your whole life, everything was always together? Your finances was always together. Your relationships was always together. Your employment, your family, your healing in your body. Everything that you touched in life throughout your whole life was always together. However, that is never the case. In this world, in this life, we'll all have challenges. And the challenges or the obstacles that we face is to help us to operate in our lives even when things are broken. When the car is broken, when the plumbing is broken, when the relationship is broken, when the kids are broken, when the checkbook is broken, when your faith in God is even broken. That's what the obstacles in life are designed to do. It is to help us to function when everything is not together. You see, you really don't know people or yourself when you're functioning in a season when everything is going smooth. If there's no challenges in your life, you'll never see how strong you really are. Amen. Paul was a man that was always operating, always preaching the gospel under some of the most unusual circumstances. And while he was in those circumstances, he'll say the most amazing things in the circumstances. Things like, with God, all things are possible. You know, stuff that you and I would say, well, if I'm in the midst of a mess, don't you look for me to try to lift you up. I'm trying to get through myself. But Paul would always be encouraging people, telling people how wonderful God, is, and how God will just come in, and we need to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. And you know, that's a challenging place to be, is to rejoice in the Lord when the bills is due. Rejoice in the Lord when the doctors say this is going to happen. Rejoice in the Lord when there's unemployment. Rejoice in the Lord when I don't see any way out. And you want me to do what? Rejoice in the Lord. Come on now, Paul. Tell me something in which I can deal with. Tell me something like, it's okay if you feel the way that you feel. As a matter of fact, it's okay if you quit right now. Come on, meet me where I am. Encourage me down on my level. But Paul is saying, I'm going to pull you up to where God have me in the faith is. And that is to say that with God, all things are possible. And that is to say that in spite of what it looks like, God can still deliver you. Now, Paul was a man in which Paul had went about preaching the gospel. And then as he went about preaching the gospel, as we addressed last time that we were here, that Paul was brought to Agrippa. And as Paul began to share with Agrippa his testimony, Agrippa said to Paul, almost you had me. In other words, he says, if you would have kept on preached a little longer, you would have convinced me to become one of those people that believe in God. The problem with almost is not good enough. Almost faith won't move God. Almost belief won't make you feel better. So you got to have it. And if you don't have it, you just don't have it. But almost is not good. Now, Paul was this guy that here he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, he found himself being an outcast. He found himself being a person that society did not like. Do you ever feel like that? Here comes Dee again. Why she hugging my nose Jesus stuff? There she go again. There she go. I don't want to hear that right now. I just lost my job. Don't talk to me about that. Talk to me about how I can give you a resume and you can give it to your employer. But don't talk to me about no faith stuff. I don't want to hear about reading this. I don't want to hear about none of that. I don't want want you to quote scripture to me. I don't want to hear any of that Bible stuff. And when people perceive you as being one of those people that's always having faith, always talking about God, they will treat you like an outcast. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. In other words, what they say is, let's sell Paul to Rome. Let's get rid of Paul. We don't need Paul to be around us. And so they put him on a ship and they set sail to Rome. Now, as they set sail to Rome, you have to understand the reason that they really set sail to Rome. And that is, when people can't handle you, they'll always get rid of you. If people can't handle you, they'll always get rid of you. And if they can't get rid of you physically, they'll disconnect from you emotionally or spiritually, but they have to get away from you. You see, people, we're kind of freaky where we like to control everybody and everything around us. But how many of you know that sometimes God will put you in a place and you can't control not one thing? You can't even control the tears that's running down your face. You can't even control what people say about you, and you can't even control really what you think about yourself. When the fire is on sometimes, what you think you control, you discover you really have no control. What you discover is, in the midst of you going through something, what you thought you knew about yourself, you really leave you. In other words, what I thought I was, what I thought I would do, I found out that I wouldn't do that. What I said I never do, I found myself going through a storm and I did just what I said I'll never do. And I judge somebody else. You got to be careful when you begin to go through the storm. When you begin to go through the storm, there's a few things that you can never lose in the storm. And one of those things is that your faith in God, you can never lose in the storm. Because just because you're going through something doesn't mean that God has changed, doesn't mean that God has moved, doesn't mean that God has left you. It means that God is saying, well, I'm ready to elevate you. In order for me to elevate you, it has to be a one-on-one between you and I. See, God can't elevate you while you hide behind what mom and them said and what daddy said. God is saying, no, you got to come from among them. Because that relationship that you have with God is a one-on-one relationship. And no one can substitute you, and you can't pass your troubles, you can't pass your trials off to anyone else. When God is saying, I'm going to take you through and to the other side, you have to understand that God is going to leave you in the fire until God says, now it's time to come out. Now I want to draw your attention to verse number 40, if I may. Acts 27, verse number 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they were committed themselves. Point number one today is challenge, or challenging. And that is, when you commit yourself to something, watch out, you'll always be challenged. When you commit yourself to changing your environment, to getting out of the hole that you're in, you will always face a challenge. The issue with challenges is that when we begin to undergo a challenge, what we tend to do is quit or back up. But it is the challenge that confirms that you're on the right track. If you're on a road and you're not being challenged, if you're traveling down a path or a journey in life and everything is going your way, you better believe you're sailing straight toward hell. When you're on the road for God, you'll always be challenged. Now, they say as soon as they committed themselves, a challenge came about. When they committed themselves unto the sea, and they loosed the rubber bands, and they hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and they made toward the shore. You see that? Now look at verse number 42. And fallen into a place where the two ships could meet. Fallen. And that is to say, when you commit yourself to something, you'll always have challenges, and don't be surprised if you fall short the first time. Falling short on the journey for God does not mean that you're a loser. It means that you are human. And because you're human, you're not going to always get what you want the first time. Things are not going to always go your way the second time. Things won't always fall in place the third time or the fifth time. See, but in spite of how many times you fall down, what you realize is that you got to Savior that is a lifter. In the midst of going through something, you got a God that says, when you fall short, I'm a lifter. When you fall short, my grace is sufficient unto thee. You see, you really don't see the magnificent power of grace until you find yourself being weak in a circumstance, weak in a situation. Because as long as you are mighty and powerful going through something, grace doesn't need to abound because you're so ignorant, you don't realize that you need grace. And because we sometimes going through something and we try to muscle our way in the spirit, we fall flat on our face. And when we fall on our face, it is God that is saying to us, you got to move from a place of challenging to a place of conforming. Conforming is when you fall on your face, point number two, conforming. When you fall on your face, you surrender to God. When you surrender to God, you say, God, what will you have me to do? I conform to your will. I conform to your way. Now notice in verse number 42, and falling into a place where two ships met, they ran the ship where? Aground. So conforming is to say, I'm going through life, and I find myself as I'm going through life, I have to conform because I've tried all I can. And so here, God, I surrender to you, I conform to you, and I find myself on the ground. Now being on the ground conforming doesn't mean I'm weak. Being on the ground conforming means I'm surrendering to God, and I'm prostrating myself out to God, and I'm saying, God, I'm on bending knees, and I'm praying to you, conforming to your will. So my prayer is that I'm going to pray to you what you spoke in my spirit. When you begin to pray, say back to God what God said to you. When you begin to pray, you got to first listen to God in order to know what to pray for. That's why God gave us a prayer language, and he says you don't need to understand it. That's why the Holy Spirit is there to intercede. What you need to do is speak what's in your spirit, not what you desire. So when you begin to pray, you understand that you are conforming to God. So what Paul says is that the ship went aground. In other words, the ship hit a place where the ship could not move. When that ship hit a place where it could not move, and the forepart struck fast. That's a good place to be. The forepart is for you and I. It's the mind. The first thing that enters into a battle, into a struggle, is your mind. And so in other words, he says, when you begin to pray, you got to get your mind right. And your mind got to be stayed on Christ. And so he says that the forepart, when the mind becomes stuck, when the mind becomes fasting on Jesus Christ, then the remainder becomes unmovable. If my mind is on Christ, I know the conditions of my body, the conditions of my health, condition of my finance, but I will not be moved. Upon this rock I stand, and I don't care what else is going on in life, my mind is stayed on Christ. Because my mind is stayed on Christ, I'm going to conform to what God is saying to me, and that's why the Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In other words, whatever you do before you do anything, acknowledge him, talk to him, pray to him, and when you pray to God, don't you move, stand there, stand still, so God can tell you what to do. When God tells you what to do, then God begins to order your steps. And the Bible declares that the steps of a good man or woman is ordered by the Lord. That's why every time they dig a ditch for you, you never fall in it, because God is telling you to go a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, and I'm ordering your steps. And I know that you don't know how you're going to make it, but I'm going to order you down here, because down here you're going to meet somebody, and I know you got a bill that is past due, but I promise you, I placed it in somebody's heart that they're going to sow into your bosom. Just keep walking by faith and not by sight. And so he says that the forepart struck fast and remained it unmovable. But even though your mind is in Christ, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. In other words, you're going through a storm and you committed to God and you conforming to God. The waves is, expect folks to talk about you. Expect folks to try to cut you up. Expect people to try to cause division between you and the God-fearing purpose or people that you hang around. Every time people see you in a relationship, in a godly relationship, you can always expect them to start talking about you. waves that he's talking about. Talk about the sounds that's being carried. When people begin to allow you, when people begin to persecute you. You see, I like what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. He says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials. We're trying to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, knowing that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. In other words, when a snake bites, don't you step back and say, I cannot believe the snake bit me. No, the snake was built to bite you. When you're in a relationship with some bad folks and bad folks do bad things, and you say, I can't believe they did that. Why can't you believe that? That's what they do. Don't you expect a dog to do anything but what a dog was created to do. Sometimes we're in a relationship with people and we expect people to do something and which they just cannot do. You can't be good and you can't be holy independent of God. And so there you are in a relationship with a worldly person and you wonder why they don't do holy things. They're not the fool. You're in a relationship with them and you're looking for holy things from an unholy person. They just cannot do it. So he says the hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. In other words, my mind is in Christ, but my body is still in the world and people are still talking. And I love it when people say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. That's the biggest lie I have ever heard. When people say things, it hurts, baby. It doesn't mean that you're not a child of God. It doesn't mean that you don't trust God. It just means you're human and you were created that way. You're created with an emotional side. That you feel what people are saying. You hurt. You feel what normal people feel. Just because you're a child of God doesn't mean that you're above the winds and the waves. You're above the circumstances. You're above gossip. Oh no, don't you fool yourself. When people say those things trouble you. But you still have to stay conforming to God's word, God's will. Now look at verse number 42. In verse number 42, it says, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. In biblical days, if you were guarding a prisoner and the prisoner escaped, you got whatever the prisoner was supposed to get. And so in Paul's case, Paul was supposed to get death. And so if you allow Paul to escape, you would get his death. And so instantly, as soon as the soldiers recognized that they may escape, their plot was to kill them. Because if I kill you, at least I won't die. I'll deal with God later for murder, but right now, I won't die and I'll be okay. Point number three is this, and that is coping. Sometimes people may not like you, but they'll team up with you for a greater good. Sometimes people may not like you, but they'll team up with you for a greater good. Coping. And so the area or the thing that we have to be careful with in coping is that just because a person is near you doesn't mean a person is with you. There's a lot of people in your life that is in your circle, but don't you think for a second that they are with you. And here's something that is perhaps shocking to you, is that sometimes God will leave those people in your circle. Jesus could have very easily said, Judas, I knew you from day one, get gone. But instead of that, he left Judas around and said, as a matter of fact, Judas, do you want to count the money? Do you want to be the treasurer? Do you want to be in a position of leadership where everybody has to deal with you because you're the man with the money? God knows you're in a circle. God knows you're out of circle. Now, in verse number 42, it says, now the soldiers' counsel, their advice, their commandments, was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Verse 43, but, and I've said it to you before that the word but in the Greek is a cancellation. So even though they had orders to kill Paul, kill the rest of them, so that they would not escape, they say, but, cancel all of that out. In verse 43, it says, says, but the centurions, which is the soldiers, willing to save Paul. Now, if you're not prayed up in prayer, they were willing to save Paul. No, they weren't willing to save Paul because they liked Paul. They were willing to save Paul so they could save themselves. See, you're in a relationship with somebody who you think like you, and they keep doing things for you, but it's really not for you, it's for themselves. They just haven't clocked in, or they just haven't cashed out yet. So I'll stay in a relationship with you, and I ride it just a little bit longer until the opportunity comes. When the opportunity that fits me, you better believe I'm going to leave you. Everybody that is coping with you doesn't mean that they're with you. Doesn't mean that they're there for good reasons. See, you have to understand that sometimes people are doing what they're doing for themselves. But the centurions, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded, listen to that, that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and go to land. In other words, we own this ship. And because we're on the ship is not going to move, because the ship has hit a place at the bottom of the ocean, and now the ship is unmovable. Because the ship is unmovable, I have a commandment, and the commandment that I have is not to let you escape, but we're going to save Paul, so we say. So if you can't swim, jump off the ship into the water, and you swim to land. But as soon as you get to land, you stop right there, because if you try to escape any further, I promise you that we're going to kill you. And so those that could swim jumped off the ship. And when they jumped off the ship in the water, they began to swim. Now, you know, in the Bible, a ship represents the church. And so what it's saying is that sometimes in your life, you'll get stuck in some church stuff that you have to jump off the ship for a moment. I don't know if you ever experienced it, but there's no hurt, there's no mess like church hurt. Find yourself going through something and let church folk get behind you. It ain't nothing compared to what the world will do. Church folk will tear you up, because you have to keep in mind those were the same one that you was at the altar with. The same one that you say, pray for me, and you told them your heart. The same one that you whispered that secret to. They know exactly where to punch you at. So church folk know how to hit home. You want to see a fight, go to church. You want to see something going on, let church folk get into it. Church folk pull stuff from last year. Church folk pull stuff from the altar. Church folk pull stuff from the prayer meeting, and everything start coming out. I know I told you in confidence, but I don't care nothing about that right now. I'm mad, and I'm just going to tell everything. You know what she said about you. You know what they did to you, and you know this, and you know that, and they start bringing up stuff that you confess, and one day you thought you were speaking in tongues, but you really were speaking in English. They even grabbed that, hold that too. Church folks, I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the world. You can go to the club, hang out with people at the club, they'll keep a secret forever. But mess around and make a church folk mad, make church members mad. They will tear you up, and in the name of Jesus, I did it because Jesus told me to do it to you. And I'm just helping Jesus out. That's all I'm doing. I'm just helping him out. Now look at verse number 44. And the rest, some on boards, you see that? And some on broken pieces of the ship. Some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass. I don't know what you're going through today, but it will come to pass. I love that, and that in and of itself is just good praise and good shout right there. Just to know that you're going through something and it came to pass. I was down and out in sickness and it came to pass. And the bills was past due and it came to pass. And I was feeling all alone, but it came to pass. And I felt rejected and it came to pass. And I didn't see God moving in my life and it came to pass. And I was going through a storm and it came to pass. I'm glad troubles don't last always. I'm glad weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I don't know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through, and you better believe it comes to pass. Troubles don't last always. Now listen, you got to know this, and that is that some made it on pieces of board and some made it on pieces of the ship. I don't know how you made it. You may have made it on a board that was called, "And God, you'll heal me." And somebody else sailed in on a ship, and that ship for them was, "He'll never leave me, never forsake me." I don't know what ship you sailed in, but what I do know is that, and it came to pass. Now listen, it may not have been pretty, but it came to pass. It may not have been pretty, but you made it. You made it in spite of being lied on, I still made it. You made it in spite of the loneliness, but you still made it. You made it in spite of the rejection, but you still made it. It may not have been a pretty thing, but you still made it. Thank God I'm not where I used to be. Thank God He sailed me to somewhere else. Thank God I'm making their own broken pieces, and everything in my life may not be together, but I thank God this car is holding me up. I thank God this house is not permitting it to rain on me. I thank God I do have enough to pay my bill. Thank God I can go get my hair done. And you think I'm going to complain because I'm going to get my hair done when I looked around and I saw somebody who was dealing with cancer and they didn't have any hair? So thank God I'm making it on broken pieces. No, it may not all be together, but I thank you, Lord, that I have what I do have. For somebody else, it may not be enough, but I thank you for the little bit that I have. Thank you, Lord, that the little bit that I have is sufficient for my moment. Thank God that even though I'm going to another level, I meet a different devil, a different spirit. I know when I get there, Lord, you'll supply all of my needs. I thank God that every time my enemy come against me, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. Thank God, even when I'm feeling all alone in the midnight hour, I got a God that says that I'll never leave you, never forsake you. Thank God that even when my family turned their back on me, I know somebody who says I'll stick it closer than a brother. Thank God that I got a Savior that didn't just die on the cross so I can have everlasting or eternal life, but He promised me joy on this side. He promised me that in spite of Satan coming to steal, kill, and destroy, He says, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundant." In other words, and it came to pass. I went through hell, but all of a sudden He opened up the windows of heaven for me, and I got an overflow. And I know you don't understand how poor, uneducated me got an overflow, but God is saying, "But favor." Just ain't fair. But favor. Just ain't fair. I know you don't qualify with other folks, but let me show you what my favor do. How my favor move you ahead of the line. Let me show you what my favor would do when you got 2-3 kids and you trying to raise them by yourself. And somebody else going to work every day and look at you sitting at home in the presence of God, understanding that I'm not unemployed. God just put me in a place and He wants to pull me just a little bit closer to Him. So what God is doing, and God is saying, this is your season of rest. When everybody else thinks that you unemployed and you looking for a job, baby, the job that I have right now is just to praise Him. Because I can get more from my praise than you can get from your paycheck. And the truth be told, that little paycheck wasn't doing it anyway. I still have to touch grace. I still have to touch it with some praise. And for God really to use that thing. Making it.
Thank you.
Making it on broken pieces. May not all be together in your life. But thank God I'm making it. Thank God I got a roof over my head. Thank God I have some food. Thank God my health is all right. Thank God. Just begin to thank God for the little stuff that you have. Stuff that we perceive as being little. You know, sometimes things that you think are so small and so minute and really don't matter. And then as soon as God removed those things from you, you discover that little thing really was a big thing. I've been complaining about getting my hair done. Woke up one morning and discovered I had cancer. And I wouldn't have any more hair. Complaining because somebody else, they went to get their nails done and I couldn't afford it. Until I looked at the man and discovered he didn't have any hands. Thank you, Lord, for what you're entrusting to me right now. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us, Lord,
thank you,
to come and to humble ourselves. ourselves to kneel at noon with you. Father God, my prayer, declaration, based off the commandments, the authority, the dominion that which you placed inside of me, I release an anointing upon your people today. And Father God, what we've learned, Lord, is that if you just say the word, just say the word. And Father God, you have brought me into this fivefold ministry. And you brought me here, commanded me to be able to speak your word, to declare your word. So Father God, I release right now healing to someone, prosperity to someone, joy to someone, in the name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this blessing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.